Welcome to In His Footsteps, with practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Be sure to visit our website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm Margaret Agard, the award-winning author of the book series, In His Footsteps. Today, I'm speaking with Aaron Goldfarb, Captain Aaron Goldfarb, of the Salvation Army of Charleston, West Virginia. Have you ever wondered where all that money goes and what it's used for that is collected in those red kettles at Christmas time? I wondered, and so I asked, and I'll be sharing with you today through our conversation exactly where it goes, what the Salvation does all year with that money, and who has helped. You'll be pleased to know most of the money stays in the community where it's collected. Now, it's time for our Bible question answer, and answer sponsored by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Amazing Bible Timeline has 6,000 years of Bible and world history together on one chart. It's found at AmazingBibleTimeline.com. The question this week is from Doug Tuckush. Doug wrote and asked, why is the word Lord capitalized completely, as in capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, at one time, and then the next time it is just the letter L that's capital, only as in capital L and then lowercase O-R-D? The short answer is that when the Hebrew word that means the Lord is used in the original Bible, written in Hebrew, it is written as capital L and then lowercase O-R-D. When the word God's name is used, YAHWEH is the word that is in the original Hebrew, rather than translate that as YAHWEH, it was translated as Lord in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Thank you, Doug, for your question. I'm sure many of us wondered about that. If you have a Bible question that you'd like answered, go to AmazingBibleTimeline.com and click on the Bible question link and send your questions to us. We're happy to answer it. I'm starting with a story about what happened to me when I rang the bells for the Salvation Army kettle campaign. You might be familiar with this story if you read Tulane Living and read last year's December issue, because it was in that as well. But this is my story and I love it. It's that time of year again. And this is what happened to me another year when it was that time of year again, when a lot of us stand all bundled up, ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. Today is my shift and I'm not happy about it. I know I'm going to be cold and bored and have to listen to that ever-ringing bell the whole time, and I'm the one doing the ringing. I'm irritated with myself for giving away even a bit of my time when I'm so busy being in charge of the church Christmas party and making sure all the Christmas gifts are collected for the needy families and getting ready for a 3-week trip to spend Christmas with my own children and grandchildren. I'm too busy for this. I'm not feeling any Christmas spirit this year, just overwhelmed and overcommitted, and this isn't helping. But I promised I'd do it, so I show up and put a smile on my face. I know it's for a good cause. Almost all the money stays in the community where it's raised. Last year, a couple of people folded up big bills and put them in the kettle as they shared with me how the Salvation Army once helped them when they were down and out. This town is filled with the down and out. Other than teaching, government, and medical jobs, there's not much work here, mostly seasonal and part-time low-wage stuff. The people going into the store reflect our rural poverty. I'm stationed right in the entrance of our small-town grocery store where people have to pass me. It could be deliberate, or it could just be that it's the only place left to stand. The entrance is jammed with soda machines, carts, a bench where people sit to give away puppies, and a mechanical motorcycle that rips and roars out a wild ride for any child lucky enough to have it paid for by a parent with time and money. But there aren't any of those folks around today. all the parents are saying no to the mechanical motorcycle ride. No, no time. No, no money. We need it for Christmas. But they do give to me, or have their children give to me, handing them a few coins and directing them to drop the coins into the red kettle. I smile and thank the children, then give the bill an extra shake for a lesson well taught. Almost everyone gives a little. The occasional dollar is given, but mostly the pot is just a spare change dumping center. One man even says, "This is great. I've been looking for a place to get rid of this stuff all day," as he empties his pockets of change into the red kettle. The change left from the dollars being spent on food and gifts to celebrate the Savior's birth. I give a sigh of relief as I notice my shift is about up and I can get back to getting ready for Christmas myself. In the meantime, I entertain myself by ringing the bell to the beat of Christmas carols. Joy to the world. Dum, dum, da, dum, da, dum, dum, dum. It helps a little bit. Ooh, only a few minutes are left when a young girl in a too small coat that was in style about 10 years ago comes dashing out of the store. I recognize that pinched look of poverty. One of the ones we're collecting gifts for, probably. Well, that'd be about half the town. She heads right to the motorcycle. Aha! A lucky one at last. I'm not only excited for her, I'm excited for me. Something to overcome my boredom and forget how cold I am. I'll be watching a rip-roaring motorcycle ride. I'll be watching a rip-roaring motorcycle ride and a laughing child. Just as she starts to climb on the bouncy motorcycle ride, she hears my bell and turns to look. "What's this?" she asks. I tell her. She opens her hand. "This is all I have," she says, and drops the quarter for her motorcycle ride into the kettle. I go completely still as I consider her quick and total generosity. "This is Christmas," says my heart. "This is Christmas. This moment, as if I'm standing by the alms pot with the Savior whispering quietly to my spirit those words he said so long ago. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. My service is no longer a sacrifice. Now it's a priceless gift. I hope you'll be generous this year as you see those red kettles and those people ringing the bells all bundled up against the cold. Whenever I see those red kettles now, I think of that little girl. And because of her, I really wanted to find out more about the Salvation Army and what happens to that money. Coming up next, I'll be speaking with Aaron Goldfarb, Captain Aaron Goldfarb of the Kanawha Charleston Salvation Army Center, or Corps.
How did you get started with Salvation Army?
Well, actually, I was invited to the Salvation Army through the brass band. I played trumpet in high school, and someone invited me to the Salvation Army to play in the brass band of the Salvation Army, and that was in 1990, and I've been in the Salvation Army ever since.
I understand that the Salvation Army really focuses on contemporary music. Is that correct?
We do some contemporary music. We also do traditional as well.
Is there a band in West Virginia?
There is. In fact, if you come to the Town Center Mall next Friday at 12 noon near the Macy's exit, we have the Salvation Army's annual kettle kickoff, which will feature the Salvation Army Brass Band.
And so that's when you start putting them out? A week from?
Yeah, it's this Friday is the kickoff. We'll have hopefully some dignitaries there. We have a singing group. We have the Salvation Army Brass Band. And so we're going to kick off our annual kettle campaign on Friday the 4th at Town Center Mall. And we'll also be kicking off our Angel Tree program as well that helps children with toys at Christmas.
What's the Angel Tree program?
The Angel Tree program is run by the Salvation Army. Basically, needy families in Tenaw, Putnam, Roan, and Clay counties come to the Salvation Army or different locations, actually, to get assistance to help with toys for their children at Christmas. And so we have distribution in December that will help the parents with those toys. Basically, what a donor would do is they would go to the Town Center Mall and pick an angel. They would basically adopt an angel, which has a child's name, their gender, their age, and the clothing size and the toy recommendations, and you would bring it back. The donor would bring it back to that same location, and then we would assemble those all those toys, and the parents would come and pick those up. We have distribution on December 16th for Kanawha County.
Okay, so it needs to happen well before December 16th, and it's at the Town Center Mall in Charleston that you can find that tree with. It's a tree or a series of trees with angels on them.
Yes, it's a tree with angels, and there's also will be someone there that will take their information and will also receive their donations as they bring them back.
That's great. I've heard is that most of the funds that are donated through those red kettles stay in the community where they're donated. Is this correct?
Yes, 82 cents of every dollar stays right here in our community. And so we attribute that that good rate because of volunteers that help us and our donors who help us purchase the toys and help donate at the Red Kettle. That's how we're able to help so many people.
How can you become a Red Kettle person?
How can you be a volunteer to ring the bell?
Yes.
Yes, well, you call the Salvation Army here. We would need volunteers. Call 304-343-4548. And we would be glad to do that. Churches can also partner with the Salvation Army and help to ring the bell, because ultimately the more volunteers that we have, the more people we're going to be able to assist. And so we're thankful for any volunteers that call that can give their time.
I have rung the bell. I have rung the bell multiple years.
We have a goal this year of $250,000 in those red kettles for Kanawha, Roan, Clay, and Putnam counties.
This is great.
And what that's going to help us with is it's going to help us provide toys for children, hygiene kits for the elderly. It'll help us provide food, rent assistance, utility assistance, clothing assistance. It'll help with our Boys and Girls Club after-school program, which provides tutoring, a safe place, athletic program as well. It'll also help in the event of an emergency disaster. And so all those funds will come from the Red Kettle program.
How do you do your after-school program?
How do we do it? Well, we have a staff of trained employees that are guided by the Boys and Girls Club of America. And so children come to the Salvation Army with their parents, and they have to register. We have two Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club. One is in St. Albans, and one is right here in Charleston. And so if there's availability, the parent would have to sign their child up for and get in that program.
Okay. I didn't know much about Salvation Army other than the bands that you see in movies, you know, like,
right.
Oh, here's the Salvation Army band, and the Red Kettles at Christmas. So,
right.
Yes. Is it true it's a church?
The Salvation Army is a church. In fact, it was started in 1865 by William Booth in London, England. In fact, the reason why we do all the things that we do is because of our love for Christ. In fact, our mission statement of the Army is that we would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in His name without discrimination. So even from the very beginning, everything that we do, if we hand out food, if we hand out a toy, it's all done from the love of Christ, and we want to help the community understand that the spiritual emphasis of the Salvation Army is paramount. And so if we can convey that message, we will be fulfilling our mission of preaching the gospel and meeting human needs. Everything that we do is for Christ.
I like that soup, soap, salvation motto. The three
Yes.
S's. Yes.
In fact, William Booth, when he started the Salvation Army, when it was first known as the Christian Mission in 1865, what he found was there was plenty of people in London, England that were drunks and alcoholics. And so what he would do is he would preach to them Christ. They would give their lives over to Christ. And the first, but what he knew, even from the beginning, is, in fact, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, says you can't preach to a man who's hungry.
True.
And so the very first service that we offer the Salvation Army is food, the very basic services. And so that's a tangible way that the community can get involved is when they help with the Red Kettle, when they put a dollar in, they need to know that they are helping feed people. And so that's how the Salvation Army started. And so everything we do is based on that model.
And your site, I think, will have the actual basic Christian beliefs you have in terms of Christ and the Son of God and basically your standard Christian beliefs. Let me make sure I'm correct about this. The reason that Salvation Army started its own church is because when it first started in London, England, and many people who were on the streets were being converted, those people were not welcome in the churches nearby because people didn't want people like that coming into their churches. Is this correct?
Yes. In fact, that's exactly why William Booth, the founder, started the Salvation Army. William Booth was a Methodist minister, and so the people that he was bringing back into the church weren't welcome. They were sitting in assigned seats or assigned pews, and that just wasn't happening. So the Salvation Army has very much taken on the similar doctrine of the Methodist Church. In fact, William Booth didn't reinvent the wheel in our beliefs. So our beliefs are very similar to that of the Methodist Church, but the founder, William Booth, he wanted to minister not just to the rich people, but he wanted to minister to the lowest of the low. And so the thing to remember is, in the Salvation Army, we never give a handout. I hate the term handout. What William Booth thought is he wanted to give a hand up. And so as we're providing these services to our community, we're trying to, you know, give them a better life and give them some hope and give them encouragement that, you know, we can make it. They can make a difference. And so that's how we operate.
We have a church where we often, the people, meet with people who really are down and out, because when you turn away from Christ, you often end up down and out. And as they come back, some of them don't want to come back. They want help, but they don't want to come to church. And basically, our view is, if we're going to help, you come to church. And I think they get a different, let me think how to put it. They don't get the connection, but the connection we see is that people who come to church can't help but be touched by God's Spirit and by the teaching, and then they become different people inside, and they get themselves out of the bind they're in. And so,
yes.
And some people will say, yeah, but they don't want to come to church. They're only coming to church to get the help. And I'm like, well, I don't care why they came.
Right. Well, the Salvation Army never tells somebody they have to go to church to receive our services.
Okay.
But we feel in the Salvation Army that the reason why people are in the shape that they're in is because they don't have Christ in their life. And so, you know, as we minister to them and as we present the gospel, you know, if we haven't offered them the gospel, offered them a chance to rebuild their life through Christ, then everything else is trivial. And so the spiritual emphasis for the Salvation Army is paramount. The greatest need that people have today is not food, it's not clothing, it's not toys, but it's Christ. And so at the Salvation Army, that is paramount.
And how do you provide that spiritual uplift at the same time you're paying their electric bill or giving them after school? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, of course, we don't prevent anyone from coming to our building because of their beliefs. Our social service workers do let the client know that the Salvation Army is a Christian faith-based organization, and we are there to help them. And so although we're not, our social workers are not trying to grab the client and take them to the altar to accept Christ, we do offer them salvation through Christ. We do, when the time's appropriate, ask if a client needs prayer.
Okay.
And so if a person walks in our building, they're part of our congregation. And so we're going to treat them with respect, and we're going to treat them, you know, if they want to, you know, to know about Christ, we can certainly lead them in that direction, and we would certainly not be afraid to share that with them. And so what their greatest need is Christ.
What are the kinds of things you helped with? You gave us a list, and at least I saw a list on site, too, of the different things you do. What do you primarily focus on in the Kanawha area?
What we focus on in the Kanawha area is toys for children, hygiene kits for the elderly, food pantry, rent assistance, utility assistance, clothing assistance. Of course, we offer the Boys and Girls Club after-school program. We offer emergency disaster services when it's needed. Those are the basic things there. We've been in operation in Kanawha County for 107 years. We've been providing services for 107 years, which says a lot.
Aaron, I looked at your name and I thought, that sounds Jewish.
Well, it is. Aaron Goldfarb is about as Jewish as you can come. My dad, on my dad's side, is Jewish. My mom's side is Irish, but I'm not Jewish by faith. I'm Christian by faith.
You're Christian by faith. Okay. And
my hometown is Portsmouth, Virginia.
Portsmouth, Virginia.
Right next to Norfolk, Virginia, and Virginia Beach, Virginia, the Tidewater area.
Yeah, been down there a lot. So you got started with a band as a teenager. And then what happened?
Well, you know, I attended the Salvation Army for years. I didn't even know the Salvation Army was a church until I was invited to the Salvation Army to play in the band. And then the corps officer, or the pastor of the Salvation Army, this was in Portsmouth, Virginia, told me about the plan of salvation and that I needed to confess my sins to Christ. I became a soldier or a member of the Salvation Army, Portsmouth, Virginia, in 1990. I played in the band, I sung in the choir for years, and supported the local Salvation Army. And then in 2002, I believe that God called me directly to be a Salvation Army officer, a pastor in the Salvation Army. And so it was there that I went to the Salvation Army Seminary College in Atlanta, Georgia. After 2 years, I was commissioned as an officer and ordained as a minister of the gospel 2004. And then I was appointed to the Salvation Army Baltimore Hamden Corps, or church. And I was there for 4 years. Then the Salvation Army moved me to Princeton, West Virginia, God's country.
Uh-huh.
And I served there for 3 years. And on June 26th, I came to Civilization up here in Charleston, West Virginia.
Give us a little bit of the background on why it's called Salvation Army.
The Salvation Army, of course, started in 1865 by William Booth. He started as the Christian Mission, and one of his children that was helping him with the ministry said, we need to change this. We need to define what we want to do. And so the name was brought up, a volunteer army. And William Booth scratched his head and said, no, we're not volunteers. And he crossed out volunteer and he wrote, we're a salvation army.
That's
right. Because salvation was the main emphasis.
And you relate that, I think, to putting on the whole armor of God that Paul talks about?
Yes,
yes.
We're modeled after the military type, where in the Salvation Army, the pastors are called officers. I'm an officer. Then we have, in the church, we have a church is a corps, C-O-R-P-S.
Yes.
In the corps, you have members of the church, but they're called soldiers. And
okay.
Soldiers wear a uniform. And so soldiers help the corps officers. The officers do the mission of the Salvation Army of preaching the gospel and meeting human needs.
So does that mean you also preach on Sunday in addition to overseeing all of this administrative work for this help that's being done?
Absolutely. In fact, in the Salvation Army in Charleston, we have two Salvation Army local church bodies, the Salvation Army Charleston Citadel, which is located on Mary Street in Charleston. They have services on Thursday, on Sunday. They have a regular congregation like any other congregation. We have officers at the Citadel Corps, Majors Bruce and Betty Williams, and they preach every Sunday. And we also have the Salvation Army Church in St. Albans, West Virginia, who also meet. They have a congregation. They preach. The Corps officer there, Lieutenant Sarah Burks, preaches every Sunday. And every Wednesday, they have midweek service on Wednesday. And so, yes, we do offer a full holistic service to the community. Not only the material things, that's important, but we also offer a place to worship Christ in our community.
One of the things I read on there is, is that it's the relief organization of the Salvation Army is like second or fourth in the United States. Is that correct?
I don't know what rating it is. I knew it was pretty high. That's one of the reasons why we're able to provide, 82 cents of every dollar that's spent goes in the community. Salvation Army has been well respected for years, so we're here to do the best job we can.
One way people can get involved this time of year is to ring the bell at the kettles, which they can do by calling you. And another way they can get involved is to go down to the angel tree at the Town Center Mall and to adopt an angel and provide clothing and gifts for a child.
Yes, and volunteering and being a donor of a needy child is critical because really we don't do anything. We need volunteers to adopt those angels. We're looking for the day, the distribution day in December, where we're going to be able to give a parent these bag of toys for their children and see their face. If you only saw their face, you really can't do that on radio, but if you saw their face,
yes,
you would realize how important it is that we do this well and that we put our energy and effort into this.
How can people help after Christmas? Volunteer organizations have told me that people are all over the place for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then the other 10 months of the year, nothing.
The Salvation Army provides services all year round. In fact, the kettle program, when people donate to the kettle, it's not just helping us with Christmas. We're providing services all year round. So
let me say, this is how I meant it. Organizations like yours could use volunteer help the other 10 months too. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, the way we're able to provide services is through volunteering. And maybe each person has a different skill set that they can offer to the Army as a volunteer. Maybe tutoring children would be appropriate for them. Maybe just coming down to the Salvation Army to help take out trash or do something else. Any kind of volunteer work, we would love to take your application and to see where we could use you.
Okay, that's great. And the number again, Aaron?
The number to volunteer at the Salvation Army is 304-343-4548.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. And I can just recommend right away, I enjoyed ringing the bell.
Okay. I think it's a good feeling that you have when you stand out there and you freeze, you understand that you're doing this for a better cause.
That's right. Okay.
And so it's a great feeling.
You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show, at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.